welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Thursday, to get you through your commute, to get you through the progressive insanity of Seattle and D.C. politics. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We are live on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on all those smart speakers out there. Amazon Home, Google Home. What is it? Amazon Echo. What's the Apple one? Apple Home? Is that also that?
Probably.
Okay, that one too. You can get us wherever it is you can stream content. We're there. Got a lot to get to. Only have 2 hours left to do it. There's growing concern from Democrats that President Trump poses a bigger threat with the black community than they actually realize. We'll tell you why. Bellevue College just got busted for vandalizing some artwork. Their response is so weird. Plus, ICE is under fire for arresting a criminal in Oregon. Yes, it's now controversial to arrest criminals. We're getting into that story and so much more. But first, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic. Find me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
So last year, we were all so excited. People were talking about the fact that Washington State had just passed this bill to keep daylight saving time permanently. Everyone was saying, yes, we're going to not lose that hour of sleep ever again. We're finally going to have a consistent year-round clock, have more light out. Everyone will be happy. And oh, by the way, we're going to do this not just unilaterally. We're going to have Oregon and California do it as well. So there's no real reason for Congress not to give us the green light. Congress has not given us the green light. Representative Marcus Richelli, the Democrat from Spokane, told our sister station Kyle Radio that some groups have been pushing back against this idea.
I would say overwhelmingly people support permanent daylight saving time. I have been surprised over the past, you know, 6 months to 9 months. There are some very active groups that have been targeting me and other legislators, both at the state and federal level, circadian scientists, etc.
What is a circadian scientist? Aren't you just a scientist? Is that a sleep doctor? You just study the circadian rhythm? Okay. What are you guys, you just get into a room and you get mad at everybody for wanting to screw with the circadian rhythm?
Who have been pushing back on the daylight saving time.
Who cares what they say? Seriously. We decided to pass this as a state. I get that it's not going to be a huge issue in Congress that they're going to want to just immediately jump on, but they sure spend a whole lot of time complaining about really low-level things already. Can you just put this into the list of low-level things to consider? They already do that. There are a lot of pros, aren't there?
I'm really supportive. I like it lighter, longer. I like, I know a lot of folks are interested in it's good for commerce, it's good for crime reduction, it's good for reducing strokes and heart attacks. There's some folks on the other side who have some concerns, and we need to have that debate. But I think it's clear everybody wants to hashtag ditch the switch.
Oh, is that a hashtag now? Ditch the switch? That hashtag has never trended on Twitter. Producer David, there's no, have you ever seen that?
No, I've never heard anyone even
ditch
say that in a
switch?
Serious way.
See, you know, dude, when you do things like that and you talk like a dork, you're not going to get considered in Congress, man. Come on. And by the way, as he points out, this was not just about Washington doing its own thing.
There was never an idea that Washington would go alone. The idea is really for our whole time zone to move. So if by the stroke of a pen, the Secretary of Transportation could just make this happen, I think that would be the best outcome. But it might take the full act of Congress. And
it does.
There's a lot of people that continue to support it, and I just think it needs to move forward. And maybe as we move up again towards the next clock change, it'll grab people's attention and hit that tipping point.
You know, the funny thing is I don't quite even understand what this bill does. I know what it does, but I can't remember. I just don't know. Does it means right now we do nothing, or we would just do it one more time?
I thought potentially it was we're stuck in it.
Because I'm not going to lie. So I get kind of, not depressed, but you get a little bit moody when you get off the air at 6 o'clock and it's pitch black out and you're like, oh, I don't want to walk home in this. It's cold. But then when it's light out and we've been getting sort of more sun staying a little bit later in the year, and I feel my mood picking up a little bit, I can't. Can I just not have that? Can I just not be happy? Just once. We're not asking for much. And it is kind of funny how we do end up, we do overreact when we lose that hour, because in the grand scheme of things, you're not really losing the hour because you get used to it and then you get it back. But people go crazy and they pretend to see on the world. Fine. But it does seem just like a simple switch that isn't going to really impact anything negatively to do this. Now, someone just texted on our text line at 1-800-465-8770 to say that they hate the sun. I get it. Here's the thing. You're not really going to get the sun. You're just going to get a little bit more light. Depending on where you live, it's not like it's going to be sunny all of a sudden. It's just going to be lighter outside. In the context of what time it is. That's it. Doesn't mean more. The weather does not change. I promise you the weather will not change. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
So an illegal immigrant in Oregon was arrested by ICE, and it happened near a school bus. And it happened after he just put his kids, I guess, on a school bus. And now people are outraged because maybe the kids on the bus could have seen it. His name is Thomas Galavan Rodriguez. He was arrested on February 19th after he dropped his children off at a school bus stop. KATU Television says ICE Representative Tanya Roman said the arrest took place after a routine traffic stop. But officials from the T-Guard School District says it happened at a school bus stop and a busload of children saw it happen. Some of the students reported seeing the arrest to school counselors last week, and now everyone's making a big deal of it. The school superintendent, Dr. Sue Reek Smith, said it raises a significant level of concern when our children are distressed or traumatized. I have a suggestion, if that's cool, because I know a way so that those kids will never have to be distressed or traumatized in that way again. You could stop being a sanctuary state and a sanctuary city and a sanctuary county. There's a really, really easy way to end this, and it would be to actually cooperate when ICE puts in detainer requests so they can go ahead and pick up the person instead of on the street during a routine traffic stop at a courtroom or a jail cell. In this case, remember, we want to pretend, the left loves to pretend on this issue, that ICE is just going after random people who are in this country illegally. They've done nothing but commit themselves to this way of life, to this language, to this community, to their job and education, and they're just being ripped from their homes. ICE is going around asking for your papers, and if you don't have them, they arrest you. No, this dude's a criminal. He's a two-time criminal. He was convicted of hit and run. Then 4 years later, he was convicted of larceny. I've taken this position over and over and over again, and I'll continue to take it. If you are in this country illegally and that is your only crime, I'm not looking to deport you. I'm especially not looking to deport Dreamers who are in this position through no fault of their own. They had no say in it. They were brought here as a child, and this is literally the only language and community that they know. However, if you're in this country illegally and you're choosing to break the law in a serious way, and yes, a hit and run is a serious crime, you are not deserving of my compassion nor my protection. I don't find that to be particularly controversial. But they do on the left. Earl Blumenauer, the representative from Oregon, put out a statement saying, quote, "It is plainly unacceptable for ICE to invade deeply personal community locations." By the way, if you were to ask him what isn't a deeply personal community location, he would say they're all deeply personal community locations. He goes on to say, "This is why I'm working with Representative Espiot to end these deplorable actions. No family should be afraid to pray, learn, and heal with their families." Okay, what if your family member's a murderer? Can we go after that person? Because in the state of Washington, we had someone who committed a murder who was in this country illegally. Can we go after them? No, not in Washington state, because we're a sanctuary state and we protect that person from deportation. What if the family member is a rapist? Like the rapist who decided to go after a woman in a wheelchair in White Center. Then after being put in jail, detainer request completely ignored because they didn't even report it to ICE, was allowed to, quote unquote, self-deport. But before self-deporting back to Mexico, decided to recommit a crime against that same woman in a wheelchair. Could we go after those people? I don't believe that the vast majority of illegal immigrants in this country are rapists or murderers or drug dealers or commit hit and run. I do think that there is a portion of that population, just like there's a portion of the non-illegal immigrant population that commits crimes. I don't like conflating people who are not breaking the law with people who are breaking the law. I don't want to pretend that that dreamer who is committing himself or herself to a life in this country with an education in this country with the dude who rapes a woman in a wheelchair. I want to protect one. I do not want to protect the other. That does not seem controversial to me. And I would argue to folks who aren't hardcore ideologues, it's not controversial to them either. But this is the world that we live in. And we're going to pretend that somehow ICE did the wrong thing in going after someone who not once committed a crime, in addition to being here illegally, but twice. Sorry. I don't want to break up a family. But if you're breaking the law, you shouldn't have any sort of protection. 1-800-465-8770. If you text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, I'll send you a link to my latest blog. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we're going to dive into the world of politics going into South Carolina this Saturday. But first, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic.
Heading into Tacoma from Lakewood, northbound I-5, around 56, we continue to have the right lane blocked by a fire truck due to a medical emergency. In Tacoma, southbound I-5 near City Center, traffic's going to be slow due to a collision that's now moved to the shoulder. The left lane, rather, is blocked in Auburn, northbound 167, approaching 15th. And in Seattle, westbound I-90 at I-5, we continue to have two lanes blocked, so expect slow traffic. Do you want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply. You're listening to AM 770 KTTH.
The IRS is increasing the number of officers in Washington State, and if you owe money, they're going to come for you. Don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So there's a new poll out that Bernie Sanders probably doesn't want us to talk about, and Joe Biden really, really, really wants us to talk about. It shows Biden in a rather significant lead in South Carolina over Bernie Sanders. That's important because if Bernie Sanders wants to get momentum, he cannot allow Joe Biden in South Carolina to jump too far ahead of him. If you're a Biden fan, Biden desperately needs at least a double-digit lead over Bernie Sanders because so far he's got no momentum. So far, Joe Biden has severely underperformed in the three previous states where there was a primary or caucus. And that has given a little bit of room to a Michael Bloomberg to emerge and say, hey, I'm that guy who can take on Donald Trump because I'm not a socialist like Bernie Sanders. I'm someone well within the mainstream of the Democratic Party, much like Joe Biden was considered, but Joe Biden's not connecting for whatever reason. Go with me. So Joe Biden desperately needs a significant win in South Carolina. Now we'll see whether or not this newest poll is going to actually come to fruition. But the only problem that Joe Biden has, even if he's got that 10-point lead in South Carolina, is you're going into Super Tuesday, literally Tuesday. The South Carolina primary is this Saturday. So let's say you've got a big win for Joe Biden. You're not getting a lot of press coverage. You're getting it on Saturday night into Sunday and then into Monday. But remember, in Monday, for the media, we're all going to be focused on Super Tuesday. So he's not going to get a lot of mileage out of a really good story out of South Carolina. So Joe Biden needs to stall Michael Bloomberg. A win in South Carolina can do that. But then they go into Super Tuesday, and we'll see what ends up happening. Right now, it appears, based on the states that are up for grabs and the delegates that are up for grabs in states like a Texas and a California, Bernie Sanders is going to be the big winner. He's going to be a huge winner. Amy Klobuchar, who's got a town hall on right now with Fox News, can someone tell her to fix her hair? Because it's driving me absolutely, I can't stop staring at her hair. She's got like, how would you describe it, producer David? It's like, there's a portion of it that's
like
just clipped off.
A cowlick or something?
Yeah, it's just kind of weird. It's just like, someone just tell her to comb it. It's driving me nuts. She's going to be dropping out after Tuesday because she's not going to win any of the states. And she's not going to do well enough that people say, oh, this Amy Klobuchar, she's got some legs on her. This is a race that could start to... It's not going to happen. You're going to hear more calls for Pete Buttigieg to drop out. He's probably not going to drop out. It doesn't seem like it unless he completely gets decimated, which is unlikely to happen. He'll come in number two or number three, and it'll be close enough.
Elizabeth Warren is doing what Elizabeth Warren is doing. She's going for the long game of a brokered convention. But Bernie Sanders right now has the momentum. We'll see if Bloomberg can cut into it a little bit, but unlikely. But it's also possible that he doesn't have enough of the delegates to have a straight-out clean win at the convention. And they might go into brokered territory. However, you're starting to hear some of the Democrats in positions of leadership change the way that they talk about Bernie Sanders. There was a lot of pretty open conversation about how extreme he is, that he might be too far to the left because he's not even a Democrat, he's a socialist, and that's going to have some concerns down ticket for some of these races. But now Nancy Pelosi starting to change her language just a little bit. She kind of dodged a question about whether or not he was mainstream this morning.
Your agenda, though, differs somewhat from Senator Sanders' agenda. You're not advocating, for instance, Medicare for all. So
that's
I'm wondering,
right.
Do you believe Senator Sanders' agenda is mainstream?
Well, I think that health care is the most important issue in the campaign. There are three issues: health care.
That's the same issue. You said it three times. It's still the same issue, though.
That's why part one of our agenda and how we won the election last time was to lower the cost of health care by lowering the cost of prescription drugs.
Health care would go up. The cost of health care would go up. And Bernie Sanders, to his credit, unlike Elizabeth Warren, who wanted to pretend, Bernie Sanders is acknowledging you're going to pay more in taxes for health care. Now, he makes the argument that overall, you're not going to be paying as much for the health care when you get it because of the higher taxes. And he says it's either a wash or you end up saving money. Studies do not really go along with that. Now, he has cherry-picked one particular Yale study. He's been talking about it recently. A Yale study whose lead author is actually an advisor to his Senate office. So keep that in mind. But the fact of the matter is, you're still running into the same exact problem for a lot of Americans who don't spend that much on health care now because they're young and healthy. And you're making the argument to them that even though you're generally not going to change the amount of health care that you end up trying to receive as a result of these new freebies, in air quotes, that you're getting, you're going to have to pay higher taxes. I don't know if there's a lot of Democrats who aren't far to the left that are in favor of that. But Pelosi dodging the question as to whether or not his positions are mainstream, she does not support his position. But she's not being open about that as much as she was at one point. They're doing that because they see Bernie Sanders as the inevitable candidate that's going to win the nomination. And they are okay going with someone like Bernie Sanders if it means they defeat Donald Trump. I think that that is a problem. I think that's a problem. Now, at the same time, you're hearing some Democratic pollsters speak up and say, you know what, guys, if you think all of a sudden that Donald Trump is so hated and the Democrat, whoever it is just a guarantee lock for the black vote, if you think that's coming to fruition, no. Cornell Belcher is a pretty significant pollster within the Democratic Party. He specializes in the African-American community. And he says, hey, Democrats, you're not doing enough to engage the black community. Trump is. Trump is starting to do a lot more. And by the way, he's got a really good story to tell. Whether or not the black community likes President Trump, the fact of the matter is the black community has historic low unemployment. Historic low. Their wages over a three-year period since Trump took office rose by 13%. They may not like the dude, but they certainly like more money in their bank accounts, as anyone would. They certainly like having a job that they didn't have last year or they didn't have under President Obama. And the New York Times had a story out today talking about how the president's reelection team is opening storefronts in black neighborhoods across a whole bunch of swing states, including Florida, Pennsylvania. And not only are they there registering voters, but they're hawking some merchandise. They're selling the MAGA hats to the people who are willing to put them on. And this dude is saying more and more and more people are willing to embrace Donald Trump because they have a hard time pushing up against some of the great things that they've experienced. Robert Baker, for example, he's African-American. He is a Trump supporter. He spoke with CBS News this morning.
We have, for sure, the lowest African-American unemployment in history. When I saw the economy get better, I noticed my 401k's. First thing I said, 401k begins to grow. The stock market is growing.
Ultimately, people look at their own family, their own situation. even when they dislike someone. Because generally, people aren't hardcore right or hardcore left. Most people are kind of down the middle. Sometimes they lean more to the left. Sometimes they lean more to the right. Sometimes they truly are down the middle and they vote Republican. Sometimes and Democrats other times. They're not hardcore activists. They're not that political. And so they hear some of the noise surrounding Donald Trump and maybe they don't like some of his tweets, but they do end up voting on whether, and it's very cliche, whether or not you're better than you were 4 years ago. Are you better right now than you were 4 years ago? And if the answer is yes, generally speaking, you're going to say, okay, you know what? I don't want to change that. I kind of like the situation I'm in right now. So I guess I'll vote for the guy who made me better than I was 4 years ago. And that economic argument is going to be very, very, very difficult to overcome if you've got Bernie Sanders as the nominee arguing that the economy is rigged against you. If the economy is rigged against someone who just received a 13% increase in their salary over the course of just a year or two, they're going to say, okay, rig the economy some more. Can we do some more rigging? I'm all in. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show, 1-800-465-8770. Text the keyword rant. I'll send you my latest blog. When we come back, Bellevue College is apologizing for a weird moment where a staff member decided to alter some artwork, and the reaction they're giving, the reason they're giving, makes no sense whatsoever. We're going to get into that when we come back. But first, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic.
Snoqualmie, Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at the time, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. It's time for the Big Local. The concept, pretty easy to understand. The media here is focused, hyper-focused, on the city of Seattle, and they end up ignoring a lot of the stories that are happening in the communities you live in and care about most. And so at 4:30, Monday through Friday, we completely ignore the city of Seattle. Instead, we focus on your cities. And we start in Everett. We've been talking about this for about a year, maybe even 2 years, where the Washington State Patrol said, we're going to crack down on HOV lane violators. You're driving in that HOV lane when you're not supposed to. We are going to give you a ticket. It appears that they are now focusing on that. And it appears that they're doing it on I-5 in Everett, which, to be fair, there kind of already are a whole bunch of speed traps there, but now they're pulling you over if you are violating the HOV lane rules.
The HOV is something that is so infuriating to other drivers because you have two or three other lanes that are stopped.
That's Washington State Patrol Trooper Heather Axman talking with Cairo 7 TV. She says, look, if you get popped, you're getting that ticket, man.
HOV violation, when you stop somebody, that's a hard one to talk yourself out of.
I don't know how they managed to do this, but Cairo 7 got some dude who violated the HOV lane, who just got a ticket, to actually talk to them.
I got over as quick as I could, but I saw it coming.
He saw it coming. So why'd you do it, man?
It's faster.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. There's a lot of those people that'll take the risk.
Yeah. There, in fact, are a lot of people. Dan Livingston admits he's a serial HOV violator. He just wants to get home fast.
Move over, let the people by, you know, and it's just not happening. I got an hour and a half commute. Sit in traffic for 2.5 hours. You get nothing done when you get home.
Yeah, that just sounds awful. That sounds miserable. Miserable. I have a friend who is in the office whose commute sometimes is 90 minutes both ways. No matter what time she leaves, it's almost always 90 minutes for Mukilteo. And she always gets stuck on I-5 no matter what. People do this for two reasons. I think, yes, there is a small percentage of folks who are just selfish. They're just jerks and they don't care. But I think the vast majority of people who are doing this knowing that they're breaking the law, they're doing it because they're desperate for their time back. They're desperate to get to work. They're desperate to get to an appointment. They're desperate to get home so they can spend some time with their kids. And when we see this kind of thing, when we see all of these people violating the law, knowing that they're likely going to get a ticket, but they're doing it anyway, the reaction from the state should be, we are going to try to help you navigate the traffic better. We will do some kind of construction on the roads. We will let you drive on the shoulders, which they do in some parts during some parts of the day. But instead, no, we're just going to give a whole bunch of tickets and force you back into the lane where you're going to be stuck for 90 minutes on the way home. That's an extra 45 minutes that you're not going to be able to spend with your kids or your husband or your wife or your spouse, whatever it is. Can we have some more compassion? We used to have this position from Washington State Department of Transportation. They still say it, but not as much. You can't build your way out of traffic. Well, sometimes you can. You can't always build your way out of traffic jams. I get that. But sometimes you can. In fact, I-5 at JBLM, they're doing a project to build yourself out of traffic. We saw that happen in Bellevue-Redmond on 405. We kind of see that happening on 167. You can sometimes build your way out of traffic. Instead, they think that you're going to be so miserable that you end up going to either ditch your car completely for a bus or light rail, or you're going to start to do a carpool. But it's not happening. The data does not back that up that people are doing that. That's why traffic is getting worse, not better. And yet they refuse to show any compassion whatsoever. Meanwhile, in the city of Olympia, they are one of the cities that use these large traffic boxes to hide and protect wires and cables. These are the wires and cables that are used for traffic signals, for lighting, for stuff like that. But they're very ugly. They're really, really, really ugly. Not only are they ugly, they usually get targeted for vandalism. Usually, young men are spray painting it, vandalizing it, and it's just ugly. It makes a city look unsafe. And so the city decided that, you know what, we're going to wrap these boxes with artwork.
They're big, shiny metal boxes, and then once they're wrapped, they're transformed with the images that artists provide us. We print ours on vinyl and then adhere the vinyl to our boxes.
That's Angel Nava talking with our sister station, Cairo Radio. She is an art specialist for the city of Olympia. She explains here what the art actually looks like.
Photos of pastels to photographs to illustrations to drawings. We have images of stained glass work, watercolors, digitally manipulated images, just really a breadth of works.
So it doesn't cost too much to get this done. It's about $500 to $700 to wrap each box. And certainly if we're looking at our own budgets, that's a lot. When you're talking about a city and the beautification of a city, that's not really all that much. And on top of that, they're actually giving artists a $500 check if their artwork is selected. And it's selected, by the way, online by people just voting, citizens voting.
Initially, it was more as a way of kind of connecting people to place and in some ways beautifying our downtown and just adding to the vibrance and the character of our community.
So I kind of like this idea, but I'm all... The thing about stuff like this, I'm going to ask you guys at home and producer David to think about this. Have you ever seen actual artwork, like a mural or something, get vandalized? Not often, right? For the most part, you got a mural up, kind of stays there untouched, right? Have you seen many murals getting defaced? No.
Not usually,
no. Yeah, every once in a while, sure, you're going to see that. But for the most part, it doesn't get defaced at all. Is that not interesting that gang members choose not to tag artwork? Why is that? I feel like if you're doing things to sort of establish your presence in a community and really be the top dog or something, you're going to go after the artwork and say, no, 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 the only art here is my art. And yet they don't do that. So that's my glass half full approach to gang violence.
I suppose. I would think they would want a blank canvas, though. Yeah, that's what I would want as an artist.
Yes, but I'm saying sometimes people get very protective of their own community. And no, I'm sorry, you can't have any good things unless I allow you to have the good things. It's generally a selfish. And by the way, not all of this is artwork that the gang members are doing. They're usually putting their gang signs up there because they want to establish that kind of dominance. And so I feel like they would do that more. But it feels like the last story that I remember of a mural getting painted over or tagged in some way actually happened in the city we don't talk about during this segment. But the community got really pissed off. They're all like, no, you do not do this. We will track you down and we'll have you fix this. So it is kind of interesting, though, that they just choose kind of to stay hands off. Finally, let's go to Bellevue College. Speaking of vandalism of art, a staff member there who has been identified, we'll identify her in a moment. She is apologizing. The school is apologizing for altering some of the artwork that was on campus. A mural was put up of two Japanese-American children in a World War II incarceration camp. The text next to it said in very big letters, "Never again is now." The artist behind it is Erin Shigaki. She's behind this installation. 11-foot-tall photographs of two children at a California incarceration camp. That according to the Seattle Times. But the art was defaced. Well, not the art, but the text, the placard with the text about the artwork was defaced. There was a sentence in a paragraph that was completely removed. Someone put whiteout on top of it. After decades, this is the line, after decades of anti-Japanese agitation led by East Side businessman Miller Freeman and others, the mass incarceration of Japanese Americans, including 60 families, 300 individuals who farmed Bellevue. So apparently, Gail Colston Barge, the vice president of institutional advancement, she was the one who put the whiteout on this particular sentence. And then afterwards, she reprinted and laminated the text without that sentence and put it on top of the placard. Some folks found out about it pretty quickly and they were all outraged. And so now the school is apologizing through their president. Not Gail Colston Barge. She has not spoken at all. And when the Seattle Times tried to reach out to her for an explanation, she was unavailable. Because, you know, if you're the vice president of institutional advancement, you've got a very busy schedule. You can't, I mean, not busy enough that you're not, you know, targeting artwork and pulling out lines that you don't like about Bellevue being put in a negative light. But beyond that, you're just really busy. And so in the apology, it said, and this is what I don't understand. It was a mistake to alter the artist's work. Removing the reference gave the impression that the administrator was attempting to remove or rewrite history. What was her intent if not to change the history that was negative towards Bellevue? Like, I mean, I suppose I intellectually understand why someone who is very hot on Bellevue and they don't want Bellevue being looked at in a negative light might look at that and say, oh, I'm going to do something. It's wrong. You're not supposed to do that. But intellectually, I can understand that. She's saying removing the reference gave the impression that the administrator was attempting to remove or rewrite history. So what was she trying to do? Look, I was trying to think all day today. I was trying to think, okay, let me go into this crazy world in which that was not the intention. What else could the intention have been? There was a misplaced comma. This was not properly. No, the sentence structure was fine. And they go, it was a mistake to alter the artist's work. So those two sentences. Now I'm getting a little wonky here. You're first saying it was a mistake to do this. And then you're saying it gave the wrong impression. The implication then was they didn't mean to white out that entire first sentence because it gave the impression that we don't like what was in it. So you mistakenly put the white out on that one particular sentence that showed Bellevue in a negative light. And then to fix the issue, you then printed out the rest of the text, laminated it, and put it on top of the placard. Okay? Maybe it was a mistake, and she was like, oh my God, I can't remember the whited out sentence. I'll do my best to cover it up. That's so weird, and they're not talking to anybody or doing interviews. That said, this part of the story drives me absolutely nuts. So the artist, who's local, wrote to the Seattle Times in a text message saying that she was traumatized by what happened to her art, to my community's art on campus. You're not traumatized. Just stop. You're upset. You should be upset. I get it. You're not traumatized. And to be fair, the artwork wasn't actually altered. It was just the placard. This is a funny story. I want to talk to her so badly. I'd be like, well, what were you doing then? I think she'd crack under the first question. That, yeah, no. I didn't like how it made Bellevue look. And it's not even historically inaccurate. The quote that was there, the sentence that was there, is historically accurate. And I don't think anyone was like, oh, you know what? I used to really like Bellevue. Not anymore. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. When we come back, guess what we're going to do? We're going to talk about how safe King County is. And by safe, I mean incredibly dangerous. We'll tell you why when we come back. But first, let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic. Welcome back to The Jason Rant Show. We are live on this Thursday afternoon, getting very excited for tomorrow's debate. If you weren't able to get tickets to the debate of the top five gubernatorial candidates, know on Monday we are going to air with limited commercials the entire debate right here on the show, starting at 3 o'clock. So if you're not able to attend, you didn't get your tickets because they did sell out within, I believe it was 4 hours, which is awesome. But that means I know a lot of you didn't get a chance to get your tickets and you wanted to go. We're going to play the debate on Monday at 3 o'clock, plus the video and podcast will be available online as well. So there was another suspected drug-related shooting in Seattle just a couple nights ago. It looks like another case of gang violence. But the city doesn't really want to talk about gang violence. They want to pursue all of these issues as simple gun violence issues. It's gun violence because a gun was used. Well, I mean, that is true, but a gang member with a gun is a little bit different than just simply saying a gun violence issue, because we know that gang members don't like to follow gun laws, but okay. Now, I suppose ironic in that it happened just a few blocks away from the King County Courthouse in downtown Seattle. It happened two nights ago, about 7:30 p.m. An 18-year-old was shot in the hand and the arm. He's going to be fine. It is the only good thing about all of these recent gang shootings is that gang members tend not to be very good shots. I mean, you think about, not to make it into a joke, but you think about the mass shooting where one person was killed. There could have been multiple people killed in downtown Seattle during that shooting, and one person was killed. And so that these people are kind of just shooting indiscriminately at each other, in a way, is certainly better than showing up to a spot where they're going to target a whole bunch of innocent civilians. Now, Como reports that officers found narcotics, a handgun, and shell casings at the scene. They are looking into it, the gang unit detectives. They're actively investigating the shooting because the shooter is still at large. So to dismiss this simply as a gun violence problem, the way that Seattle's mayor and this council continue to do, appears to be a losing narrative argument, a losing PR move. I get that they want to go after guns. They do not like guns. They don't like gun culture. But when you completely ignore the root cause of the gun violence, you realize the gun violence will continue. The mayor, when the mass shooting happened a few weeks ago, went out and said how we've got some of the strongest anti-gun laws out there in this country, certainly in the state. We've got the strongest gun safety rules, gun control legislation of any other city. Okay, you say that after someone broke gun laws, these were felons who decided to shoot at each other. Why is it that they didn't follow those gun laws that are so strident? So tough. It's because they don't follow the law. And so simply coming up and saying, you know what, we're going to look at even more gun laws to make sure that these things don't happen anymore, that's not actually going to stop the next gang member from shooting at each other. And I know deep down inside they know that, which is why it's so nefarious what they're doing. They're exploiting these issues because they want to go after guns, knowing that it's not going to stop the gang member from having a gun, but it's going to stop you who lives in Northgate from having a gun. And then, of course, it expands into King County, which means you in Tukwila is not going to have a gun. And then it goes from King County to Pierce County and then says, hey, you guys over in Tacoma, you're not going to have a gun. And so on and so forth. This is what they do. And they know it's dishonest, but they know that they can appeal emotionally to a whole bunch of folks. They know they can make that appeal who feel scared. And so maybe they're willing to say, okay, you know what? I hate these acts of gun violence. I can't stand it. I'm scared. Do what you can. Just make sure it doesn't happen again. Because you know what? That could have been me out there on 3rd and Pine. That could have been me by the King County Courthouse. Do what you can. Do what you want. We got to stop it. That's what they're hoping you say. I think it's perfectly rational to be afraid of gun violence in certain parts of Seattle. I'm not particularly worried, although I do think when I go down to CenturyLink, as I will this weekend for the Sounders game, walking through Pioneer Square, I'm going to feel as uncomfortable as I normally do because that situation's getting worse and worse and worse. But you have to be aware of how these politicians end up pushing their anti-gun laws. And you have to be aware, not just so you don't fall for it. I know you guys are not going to fall for it for the most part. Everyone who's listening is probably in support of the Second Amendment. But your neighbors, your family members, your spouse who maybe doesn't share your political positions on guns, they might fall for this. And that's why you have to be comfortable calling it out. That's why you have to be comfortable talking to someone else about what's really going on. Because Mayor Jenny Durkin, or King County Executive Dow Constantine, or frankly, Jay Inslee, they're counting on you not having that conversation, not shining a spotlight on these issues. You're listening to the Jason Rand Show. When we come back, two overdose cases in Bellevue, 17-year-old and an 18-year-old from Bellevue High School. Why are we getting more and more of these stories? I'm going to tell you when we come back. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-877. He'll send you a link to my latest blog calling out the chair of the Democratic State Party.